Good morning. I am happy to see all of your smiling faces here this morning. I'm thankful that you have made the effort to be here in the house of the Lord. And I pray that you have properly prepared yourselves to hear what the Lord has for all of us today. Not just you, but for me also. The Lord has the tendency to fill in a lot of blanks for you when you're up here. And I'm confident that he will do that again today. I'm going to open today in the 26th chapter of Isaiah 26, first four verses of Isaiah chapter 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord is the subject that the Lord has placed upon my mind this morning, that we would have total and complete confidence in the Lord our God and his Son and the Holy Spirit. That we would have a confidence in his word, that what he has given us in our Holy Scriptures is true and unchanging and a guide for our lives. Total and complete confidence and trust in his will for us and our lives, that he has a plan for us, that he has a will and a desire for us. And complete confidence that through the power of his Holy Spirit, he will give us the strength, the courage, the wisdom, and the knowledge to accomplish his holy will. We also, if we trust in the Lord, have complete confidence that he hears our prayers and that he answers our prayers. And this is very important because that's our personal connection with our Savior and with our Creator. Complete, total, unwavering confidence in the Lord our God is trust. In Psalms 118, verse 8, Psalms 118, 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Can man do all these things that I just enumerated? If we put our confidence in one of our fellow beings, can we have confidence that he's going to do all these things for us? Can we have confidence that if we trust in a man that we have that promise of eternal life, and that in trusting in that person, that plan will unfold in our lives, and that we will one day stand before God unashamed? No, absolutely not. Only through trust in the Lord and his Son, Jesus Christ, can that plan of salvation unfold in our lives, because he's the one that made the sacrifice, that we can enter into that Holy of Holies, that we can have that communication through the Holy Spirit with our Lord, that the price has been paid for us to atone for the sin of Adam. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The Book of Mormon is a little more emphatic about that. Let's look in 2 Nephi chapter 3. 2 Nephi, chapter 3. I think I'll start at the 57th verse, found on page 94 of the Book of Mormon. O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Can we trust in a man to give us a way of escape? Only in the Lord. Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way? In our humanness, we say and do things that could be a stumbling block for our brothers and sisters, or of those in the world. I pray not intentionally, but we do it. The Lord will never place a stumbling block in your way, ever. He will give you a way of escape. But that thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemies. That he will put a barrier between us and our enemies. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. What a wonderful statement of faith. I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Cursed. That's a little more emphatic than it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I gave a study down in Mexico a few weeks back, and we studied some of these verses about trusting in the Lord. And I had a sister ask me, well, God calls men to the ministry. They're chosen by God, and God ordains them. Should we not put our trust in the ministry to tell us the truth? That was a question I was not ready for. Very, very interesting question. But I can't go against what it says here. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man. So am I wasting my time up here? I pray that I'm not. I pray that the Lord is guiding our minds today. That's bringing to us a greater understanding of his will. I pray that what I'm offering is wise counsel. I pray that that's what our ministry does, is offer wise counsel. But it's only wise if the trust is in the Lord and in his word and in the guidance of his Holy Spirit. So trust in God, accept the wise counsel for what it is. I hope that answers that question, because that is a very important thing. And a serious distinction that we have in our church, that we don't have one man who's the head of the church, whose word is absolute truth. The only absolute truth is the word of God. That's where we have to put our trust. I'm going to continue in Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. I'm going to read the first three verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. What beautiful words. The Lord is my rock. He is that unmovable, unchangeable foundation in our lives that's always there, always solid. He's my fortress. He's that barrier that we have from the world and from sin, if we're willing to trust in him. He's my deliverer. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. He has delivered us from that sin of Adam, that curse upon mankind. That curse has been lifted. And the availability of eternal life is there if we trust in the Lord. He is my strength. We, in and of ourselves, are nothing. We have no strength. I've talked to several people who were touched by the Lord's Spirit in such a way that their strength went out of their body as a warning that the strength comes from the Lord, and by yourself you are nothing. He is my buckler. A buckler is a shield from the fiery darts of the evil one, as it says. He's our shield. He's the one that gives us that protection from temptation. But we have to raise it. If it's just slung over your back, it's not going to do you any good. Okay? It's got to be total and complete and unwavering confidence and trust in the Lord God. He's the horn of my salvation. Coming back from Ottawa yesterday, we saw, I don't know that I know what kind of animal it was, but it was a cow-like creature, and his horns must have been at least 3 or 4 feet on each side. It was an amazing sight. This thing was huge. And those horns, they're his protection from his enemies. So Christ is the horn of our salvation. He is the protection. He's the power of our salvation. And my high tower, like I said at the beginning, the fortress, the high tower, that place where you can go when you can be isolated, insulated from the cares and temptations of the world. I was thinking about some of the great biblical people who trusted in the Lord or didn't, right in the very beginning. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he told them, you can trust in yourself. You can be like gods. You don't need God. You can trust in your own intelligence. And so they received that knowledge of good and evil with a double-edged sword, that God within you. There were a group of people during Christ's time, during his ministry, or during the time of his really during the time of the early church after his crucifixion and resurrection, and this group was called the Gnostics, spelled Gnostics. It's a Greek word which means knowledge. And the Gnostics believed that all knowledge comes from the mind of man. and that your God is the you that's inside of you, and that all you need to do is get in touch with your inner self. Does this sound kind of familiar? This still goes on today. If you drive down Noland Road, south from 23rd Street, you will see a sign on the side of a building. It says the Gnostic Confraternity. And it's a Gnostic group. And it's sort of hocus-pocus self-help group with meditation and this, that, and the other. But it all has to do with getting in touch with the God that's inside of you. Trusting in the arm of flesh, your own arm of flesh. Trusting in yourself. I can't imagine anything worse to trust in than me and myself. I've been there. I tried it. It didn't work at all. It was a miserable failure. Abraham was told to leave his land of his people, and go to a strange land far, far away. He trusted in God and he did it. Jonah, on the other hand, didn't want to trust in God. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And he had an encounter with a large fish, didn't he? He was swallowed by that whale. Because he wasn't willing to trust that God would give him the inspiration, that he would touch the hearts of the people of Nineveh. David, when he had his encounter with Goliath, they wanted to put all this armor and everything on him so that he would be protected. And he said, no, this isn't going to work. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And he went out with a sling and a few stones. Lehi in the Book of Mormon trusted in the Lord. The Lord gave him this ball of curious workmanship referred to as a director or a liahona. And it words would appear on it, and it had like the arms of a compass, pointers of a compass in it, would tell them what direction to go. But it only worked when they trusted in the Lord. And when they didn't trust in him, it didn't do a thing. A number of years ago, we lived in the city when Jesse was just a little boy. And we had decided that it was time to move out of that location. And so we thought, well, the obvious thing to do is to go where the money is. Okay? Go where our client base is. Because the bulk of our clients didn't really live close to us. And so I took a zip code map and I put a dot for every client that we had in our database on the zip code map. And guess what? It was centered around southern Johnson County, Kansas. So we spent months and months and months looking for a suitable place. And we had two ideas. One, we're going to move to Johnson County. And two, we're not going to build a house. Okay. Well, it didn't materialize. It didn't happen. And one day, our brother Leslie Kay said, well, you know, there's plenty of land right next door to us. And of course, our response was, well, it's not in Johnson County, and there's not a house on it. Well, the rest is history. We bought the land in eastern Jackson County, and we built a house. But it wasn't until we made that decision that the doors started opening up. Everything we tried to do when we looked west, it was one barrier after another that just was a wall that kept us from going that direction. I've asked three of you to offer testimonies about trust, and I'm going to begin with my brother Sean.
Well, my testimony is one where I failed. Angelita and I, we asked God what he wanted us to do with our house, and he told us to sell it. So we put it up for sale on a Friday, and the whole deal just went wrong. No one showed up for open house, none of the realtors, no one. No one showed up, not a phone call from anybody for the weekend. And on Friday I called and they said that they couldn't sell our house for what we were asking, that the owner of the company refused. And so we took that and we said, well, we put it up for sale and we really didn't want to sell the house, but we put it up for sale because God told us to. And since this fell through, now we don't have to. And so now we're not going to sell the house. And we twisted it around to suit what we wanted, not what God wanted. And consequently, we lost our house. We're still dealing with the punishment of not doing what he told us to do. And I'm sorry, but I failed. I failed to trust in him. I failed to obey him. I failed, and I'm sorry.
Thank you, Sean. Jacob, make sure that the microphones are going to the recording and the live stream. Aubrey Case has a testimony for us.
When I was 23, 24 years old, just out of college, I went through a time where I was really unhappy. I was kind of had a disquiet clear to my soul. I had spent a lot of time and energy getting an education and kind of building who I wanted to be, and it just didn't seem to materialize in the way that I wanted. And I was frustrated. I didn't like my job. I didn't like where I was living. I didn't like the way my life was looking. And I was trying as hard as I could to do the right things and be the right person, and it just was a frustration. And I had an evening that I spent a few hours in prayer, in the most sincere prayer that I think I've ever had in my life. And I knelt before God and I gave him everything that I wished and hoped for myself. And I said, this is yours now, and I will take what you have for me. I will trust in you, and I will follow your plan. And absolutely nothing changed in my life for a while, except for that he changed my heart and he changed my soul. And I had a pervasive peace, and a peace that carried me through some tough times. With my mother had cancer, and has waxed and waned in my life a little bit over the years after, but has been there in a strength that I never had prior to that moment. And it was a turning point in my life, and it was a beautiful thing to be able to trust in him and to have the peace that he gives when you do that.
Thank you, Aubrey. Brother Harris?
In 1971, Joyce and I had an opportunity to move from Iowa back to Independence. And we took that opportunity because it would afford me a super job, lots of money, and a better life. And so we moved, we came back here. And that lasted until about 1978. In 1978, I lost that job, I lost that money, and we were at a loss to know what to do. We came to conference in 1978, and the night before we were to come to a meeting, I was told that I would be called to the ministry the next day. I said, Lord, not now. I got problems. Things aren't going right. And we went to the meeting. Sure enough, I was called to the ministry. And in that call, I was told that if I would accept, all my problems would be solved. Well, I was ordained, I accepted. And like Aubrey, my life didn't change right away. But we figured we had to do something, so one of the first things was we had a big, beautiful home out here in the Tamasha area of Independence. The first thing we did was sell that. And then I made contacts with people that I'd known through the medical profession that we were serving, and I became a consultant. I started traveling around the Midwest and helping people with what I knew I could do. On one of those trips to Wichita, I was worried because the people that bought our home now had it. We didn't have a place to live, and we had to find something quick. And so I worried all the way to Wichita. I did what I was supposed to do, and on the way home, I was told, quit worrying. When you get home, Joyce will have found a house for you. So I quit worrying. I got home, I walked through the door, and Joyce said, guess what? We got a house. And things went that way. We had problems, the Lord solved them. I had an opportunity to leave this area then and to go to Washington, D.C. and take a very big job in Baltimore. And I turned it down. I said, the reason that we're here is because I have a work to do, and God's going to tell me what to do. And so we turned the job down. And after that, I got a real good job, one which allowed me to work until I could retire. I'm not rich by any means, but I'm comfortable. And the Lord did exactly what He said. You accept and serve me, and your problems will be solved. And He did that. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Harris. I'd like to close with a few verses out of Mosiah chapter 5. Mosiah chapter 5, I'm going to begin with verse 47, found on page 230 of the Book of Mormon. Therefore, who wondereth that they are in bondage, and that they are smitten with sore afflictions? For behold, the Lord hath said, I will not succor my people on the day of their transgression, but I will hedge up their ways, that they prosper not. And their doings shall be as a stumbling block before them. And again he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the chaff thereof in the whirlwind, and the effects thereof is poison. And again he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the east wind, which bringeth immediate destruction. And now, behold, the promise of the Lord is fulfilled, and ye are smitten and afflicted. But if ye will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart, and put your trust in Him, and serve Him with all diligence of mind, if ye do this, He will, according to His own will and pleasure, deliver you out of bondage. I thank you for your kind attention.